Hello, and welcome again to Finding Truth Matters with Dr. Andrew Corbett. Have you ever wanted to be famous? It must be cool to be famous, to have heaps of money and big houses, designer clothes, people wanting your autograph. Wow. Is that something you'd like, to be famous? And what would you like to be famous for? Tonight we're with Dr. Corbett in a series on the search for significance, and we're learning from the life and times of King Solomon. Will fame make you significant? Let's find out as we join Dr. Corbett now.
The search for significance. This is the story of a man who had an income, in today's terms, of around about $1.2 million a week. And he says in this account of his life, which is his account of having immense wealth, immense power, as we'll see in a moment, and yet he found that his life was empty. And this is his story of how none of these things fulfilled him. None of these things satisfied him. None of these things gave him a sense that my life counts, my life is worth it. I understand the equation. I understand what life is all about. And we call that a sense of significance. You can look at your life and say, I'm making a positive, valuable contribution. I'm going to leave a legacy. I'm going to leave something behind. My life will have been worth it. And so Ecclesiastes, if you're essentially uninitiated with the Bible, Ecclesiastes is going to be a difficult book for you to understand, because you have to understand this concept of perspective. And so it's really important to understand that when we're reading certain passages in the Bible, we're actually reading sometimes from someone's perspective. For example, if I said to you the Bible contains lies, you could Instagram, Twitter that right now and get me in a lot of trouble. You could take me right out of context. But if I said to you, when Satan came to Eve in the Garden of Eden and said, the day you eat of this tree, you will become like God. Is that a lie? And it's in the Bible. Can you see what I mean by perspective? In the book of Ecclesiastes, it says things like this. It talks about the sunrise and the sunset. The sun goes up and the sun goes down. Here's the question. Does the sun go up and does the sun go down? No, it doesn't. But from someone's perspective, which the Bible accurately records, it looks like that. Would you like to be famous? Could I just see a show of hands? Who would like to be famous? A whole lot of people, apparently. Who is the most famous person in the world today? Who is the most famous person in the world today? According to Forbes magazine, which is a magazine that normally is an investment financial magazine, they said this person. Who is this person? Beyonce Knowles. And she is the most famous person in the world today, as in at the moment. Not of all time, but at the moment. Now, here's why Forbes says she's interesting as a famous person. Last year, 2014, she earned, last year, $115 million. She's 33 years of age. She's a singer. She lives in New York. She's married. She has one child. She was the number one celebrity of the top 100 celebrities of the world. She is the number two money earner of all celebrities. She's number four for appearing in the media. I don't know. Obviously, there are people who measure this. She's the number six most tweeted about person on Twitter, which I'm pretty upset about myself. And she's considered to be the 17th most powerful woman in the world. Now, that's Beyonce Knowles. This brings me, when we're talking about something famous, to something that's so famous you probably carry it around with you most of the time. It's an Australian 20-cent piece. The Australian 20-cent piece. And the reason I bring this up is because, according to most sources, the most famous person in the world today is Queen Elizabeth II, recognised in more countries around the world than Beyoncé Knowles. Shock horror. Now, I actually went on Wikipedia because someone's written an article on the phenomenon of YouTube videos, and I thought, well, I don't want to go through all the YouTube videos there are, and I'll let someone else do it. So they did, and the first 100 of the most popular of YouTube videos are all music clips. All music clips. You actually have to go a long way down the list to find a non-music clip YouTube phenomenon that's made someone famous. And you come to a couple where it's usually someone's finger, they've got a famous finger, tickling a kitten. And hundreds of millions of people have watched this mindless this video on a kitten being tickled. Then you go another long way down the list and you come to two little baby boys where one of them says, I don't know what he says, but anyway, it's two cute little baby boys. And this is what is capturing the attention of the world today. I want to highlight this with what it used to take to be famous. So let's play a little game, shall we? Who am I? This man had a deep faith in the God of the Bible, Jesus of Nazareth. He believed the Bible was divinely inspired. He invented calculus. He invented the reflecting telescope. He coined the word gravity. He mathematically proved the Roman Catholic Church to be incorrect regarding their geocentrism, that is, that the earth stands still and everything revolves around the earth, orbits around the earth. And he proved beyond all doubt the facts of heliocentrism, that is, the sun is there and the earth and all the other planets orbit around the sun. He proved that that is what is happening mathematically. He explained why and how every large body in the universe, all the planets and stars and galaxies and various solar systems, how they move and why they move and where they move. And he established mechanical engineering principles upon which 95% of all engineering done today are based on his calculations. Who am I? Isaac Newton. Thank you very much. So according to Google, Sir Isaac Newton has over 1 million people per month look him up on Google. 400,000 books have been written about Sir Isaac Newton. That puts you in the category of long-term famous. So here's this guy. He's the 10th most famous person who has ever lived. Sir Isaac Newton. And there's some of his attributes. He lived from 1642 to 1727. All right, so this just sets it up for fame, because now when we come to Ecclesiastes, we are looking at someone that the Bible describes as famous. My recollection, my understanding of Scripture is that there are three people who are attributed in the Bible as having fame, and Solomon is one of them. His father David was another, and we'll see the other one in just a moment. So in Ecclesiastes 1:16, Solomon says this, I said in my heart, I have acquired great wisdom, surpassing all who were over Jerusalem before me, and my heart has had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. He's saying, I'm the greatest person who's ever lived. No one has ever surpassed me for ability or wisdom. So you can see, humility was not one of his major traits. This man was very, very sure of himself. Now, he didn't start out like this, by the way. And in fact, the reason he became like this is because God endowed him with great wisdom and great wealth because he was initially humble. Now, there's a whole other thing there about how to handle fame. And I wish for some of you here fame, but I don't wish it for you all, because for most of you, it would be your ruin. It would destroy you. We read in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 1 about his fame. Now, when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, she came to Jerusalem to test him with hard questions, having a very great retinue, that is, servants and guards and soldiers and people to wait on her, and camels bearing spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she told him all that was on her mind. I really just wanted to point out to you that she had heard of his fame, and she was in the middle of Africa, and she's heard about this man. Jesus says that there were two very important visitors that came to Solomon. Jesus just mentions it. It wasn't the main point of what he was saying, but he said Solomon and all his fame, who had the Queen of Sheba and the Queen of the South. So there's at least a couple of queens who came because of Solomon's fame. So he was a very famous man. So he says in chapter 2, verse 9, so now we're in the second chapter, where again he repeats this statement, "No one is better than me at anything." Let me put it the way he put it. "So I became great and surpassed all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me." So here's a man who became famous for several reasons. And here are some of those reasons. The first one we've read already, his wisdom. He became incredibly wise. But here's the thing. He didn't find that he was able to use his wisdom for anything significant. Now, here's one of the things that I want to help you to come to understand. A life of significance is a life where you help other people. If all you are doing is living this life for the marrow you can squeeze out of the bone, the juice you can squeeze out of the fruit, you are not living a significant life. You are living a self-centered, selfish life. The direct opposite of significance. So Solomon did not find significance in wisdom. He should have. He should have. But he didn't. God has given you gifts too. God gave Solomon the gift of wisdom. God has given you gifts. Are you using those gifts that God has given you significantly? Are you using those things that God has given you to bless others? God has given you technology, resources, a degree of wealth. Are you using it to bless someone else? The greatest man of his day who had ever lived didn't. He had great wealth, great wisdom, and he didn't use it to bless others. He says, "Then I said in my heart," Ecclesiastes 2:15, "what happens to the fool will happen to me also. Why then have I been so very wise? And I said in my heart, this is vanity," or another word for vanity, pointless. "It's pointless to be wise," said Solomon. You know what? It is if all you're going to do is be selfish about it. If all you're going to do is figure out what you can get out of it through your gift of wisdom, yeah, life is vanity. It is pointless. Ecclesiastes 6:8 says this, "For what advantage has the wise man over the fool? What does the poor man have who knows how to conduct himself before the living?" So he says this several times. I see no advantage in being wise. So this is written toward the end of his life. In fact, this is probably, I'm guessing, months before he died, maybe even weeks before he died. And he's writing this, looking back at it, looking back over his life, over the 40 or so years that he was king. And he's going, you know, 10 or so years into me being king, I just thought, what is the point? And this is where he's at. So he's telling his story that he really did not see a point. Solomon also became famous for his phenomenal wealth. Unbelievable wealth. It says in 2 Chronicles 9:22, "Thus King Solomon excelled all the kings of the earth in riches and in wisdom." But you know what? With all that money, think about it. What could you do with $1 million? Well, imagine you had it coming in every week for 40 years. What good could you do with it? I think the answer is a lot. Or the answer might be great. You could do great good with that kind of wealth. What did he do with it? He threw banquets. He enlarged his palace. He bought slaves. He planted vineyards so he could have more wine to get more drunk on. That's what he did with his great wealth. We saw last week as we looked at success that some people have been phenomenally successful, and for them success is measured in wealth. And we saw one NBA player, Antoine Walker, he through his 10-year basketball career, he earned $110 million. 3 years after he retired, he was bankrupt. He had none of it. You just think, my goodness me, how could I use great wealth significantly? At one point, I'll tell you now, I'm digressing, not on my notes. I had on my whiteboard this idea that one day someone was going to walk in and say, here's a brown paper bag, I might give it to you. It's got $2 million in it. I just want to know, I'm a committed Christian, but I'm lousy strategically. I really don't know how to spread the gospel very far and effectively. Tell me, I'll give you this $2 million if you could tell me how you could make the biggest difference for Christ with this $2 million. So I actually thought this through. I had it on my whiteboard, on a column. I drew a column on my whiteboard, and I had a list of things I would do if someone gave me $2 million. And at the end of it, I had a dot point. It said, and I'll pray for the rest. So what would you do with a significant amount of money? I'll tell you what the answer is. You would do exactly the same as you're doing with the money you've got now. Don't wait. All of the things on my board, I thought, I don't have to wait, do I? So Solomon didn't find significance in his wealth. He says in chapter 6 and verse 2, a man to whom God gives wealth, possessions and honour so that he lacks nothing of all that he desires, yet God does not give him power to enjoy them, but a stranger enjoys them. This is vanity. It's also a grievous evil. So you get all this money and you don't get to exploit all the pleasure you can get out of it. You die. What's the point of being wealthy? That's what he's saying. You can see how this man has a very distorted perspective on reality. Solomon also became famous for his work, his works, what he did. He built huge buildings. He planted entire forests. He planted huge vineyards. He built roads. He built ships. He did some phenomenal things. He says this in chapter 2, verse 4, I made great works. I built houses and planted vineyards for myself. And he lists all the other things that he did, great works. A lot of people turn to their work to find significance, and I get that. For some men whose home life is not great, they find a great sense of significance in being able to go to work and have people respect them. I get that. I've spoken with men who have been in a home life where they have not felt respected by their wife. So they will spend more time at work than they need to because at least there they're getting some respect. I understand men who think like that, but can I tell you, at the end of the day, it's empty. It's utterly empty. And King Solomon says so. He says that in all his work, he realized, I do all these things, and then one day I'm going to die and someone else will get them, and they didn't do anything to earn them. This is stupid, all that I've done. It's vanity. So he was unfulfilled in his wisdom, in his wealth, and in his work. Completely unfulfilled. The 10 most famous people, the number 9 is Leonardo da Vinci, an amazing man. Number 8 is William Shakespeare. Number 7, the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, 7th most famous person that's ever lived. And then you go through the list and you've got number 6 is Gautama Buddha, Siddhartha Gautama Buddha. Number 5, I think is Moses. Then you've got Abraham. Then you come down to number two and it's Muhammad, although Google says they can't verify that because apparently you're not allowed to depict him, you're not allowed to write a book with his name on the cover, so they don't know how many books have been written about him. But here's the two criteria they use to figure out who is the most famous person. How many Google searches a month? And this person receives 24 million searches a month. And the number of books written about them, numbers, hundreds of millions of books have been written about them. And in fact, easily more books have been written about this person than any other person ever. Yet here's the strange thing, and this is going to shock a whole generation today. This person never recorded a song. They never invented a dance move. And they never tickled a kitten. Well, I can't verify the last one. So Jesus' fame, it says in Matthew 4:24, spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those who were afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. So the fame of Jesus, this is Matthew chapter 4, not Matthew chapter 24. In other words, this is very early on in his ministry. Jesus became famous. Now here is, if we were to look at the way Jesus handled fame compared to how Solomon handled fame, with Jesus' fame, it was not the game, it was not the goal for him. He was not craving people's attention. I see too many people today craving attention. It's unhealthy. In fact, Jesus, when he got what he considered to be too much attention, you only have to read through the Gospel of Luke to read things like this. Jesus withdrew from the crowd, as was his habit. It says, at night, Jesus went for a walk to pray all night by himself, as he often did. When the crowds became too vast, Jesus got in a boat and said to his disciples, let's get out of here. Let's go to the other side. Jesus was not craving fame. But the gifts that the Father had given him, he used, and that verse is a great verse to highlight it. He used what God had given him and the fame to bless others. What has God given you that you can use to bless others? There are some here, and you should write a thoughtful blog every day. You should. There are some people here, and you should write a book. There are some people here today and you need to see the world differently. You need to go and talk to David Stallard and buy a camera. I'm serious. I'm kind of serious. You need to... Some people, all their whole world vision is their navel. They're so busy looking at themselves and their own little problems. I tell you, one of the things that has helped me having a camera is you begin to see what you normally miss. Some people need to think, how can I bless someone else? That's what Jesus was doing. Jesus' significance did not come from him being famous. He didn't say to his disciples, you guys go into the dinner party and just I'll make an entrance. He didn't do that. He didn't do it. In fact, he did everything the book says not to do. And yet, he is today the most famous person who has ever lived. If you think significance in life, finding out what life is all about, comes from you becoming famous, history tells us you're wrong. You're very wrong. And here's what the most famous person who's ever lived said about life and its point. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? That word soul, psuche. Psuche. I mentioned today, I don't know how many soul doctors we have in our city, but we have a heap more than we had 20 years ago. In other words, there are enough people in our city who have wounded, hurt, aching souls. And Jesus said, You could take that ache with you into eternity if you don't get this right. What shall a man give in return for his soul? Luke 8:14, Jesus said, "And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, those things which they think will bring them fame, and their fruit does not mature." So it's the cares of the world, the applause of the world, that can choke the living daylights out of you if you let it. And Jesus said, don't. So here's the question. You can live like Solomon. Live for yourself. Live for pleasure. Live to work hard. Live for wealth. Live to be famous. Or you could live like Jesus. In fact, John tells us at the end of his gospel, most of what Jesus did, I haven't even told you about. He says it like this: if I was to tell you everything Jesus did, there wouldn't be enough books in the world to contain it. In other words, most of what Jesus did was done quietly and in secret, and not a lot of people knew about it. So the next time you do something and you get all sooky and sulky and think, why didn't someone come and pat me on the back? Don't do that. Be like Jesus. Look to the applause of your Father, not the applause of the crowd. Does this make sense to anyone? I'm not preaching to you, am I? I'm preaching to the person beside you, aren't I? Please, let's get our focus right of what brings significance. Is your life focused on the right things? That ache in your soul, where's it taking you? Are you focused on the right things?
Solomon had wealth, he had recognition for things he'd built, he was known for his wisdom, but was he fulfilled? The question is your life focused on significant things? More from Dr. Corbett next week in The Search for Significance. Podcasts and Finding Truth Matters resources, including tonight's program, The Search for Significance Part 2, are available via the website findingtruthmatters.org or by contacting us at Lagana Media, PO Box 1143, Lagana, Tasmania 7277. For regular updates and special offers, please visit our Facebook page, facebook.com/findingtruthmatters. Dr. Corbett is pastor of Lagana Christian Church and president of ICI Theological College Australia. We look forward to joining you again at the same time next week for another Finding Truth Matters.